Let's turn to Judges tonight, Judges chapter number 7, and if you will stand, Judges chapter number 7, verse number 9, we'll continue preaching on piece of cake, just a piece of cake. Got about two more messages probably on this, one or two more. I sure didn't know there's that many things in here about it, we could do it. And we've been dealing with sorrow and satisfaction, supply, the secular, seduction on Sunday morning. Amen. And tonight we'll be dealing with submission. Look at it with me. Judges chapter number 7, verse number 9. It came to pass the same night the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thy hand, but if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host. Thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hand be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay long in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. When Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream. And lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into a tent, smote it, that it fell, and it overturned, that the tent lay long. There we are. There's another cake. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Brother Ty, if you will, lead us in prayer, and please pray for me tonight. Amen. Appreciate the one prayer. Pray tonight. Let's remember all the prayer requests of God. Pray for the ones that are sick. Pray for our lost loved ones. Amen. They get in. And I want you to pray for me also next Saturday, the 9th, April 9th, that right? Next Saturday. We're preaching a youth meeting for Brother Dietz up in, Kannapolis. Thank you, Kannapolis. Brother Dietz at Temple Baptist Church. If you'd like to go, we'd love for all our young people to go. All the young people to go. It'd be great because they have it just like the one we went down in Marshville. They do the same thing all the way up through the ages. They split them out by ages and go, and they have something for the adults and everything. So, but I'll be preaching at Brother Dietz Church. First time I've ever preached up there, and looking forward to going up there. And I love Brother Dietz. Brother Dietz is a tremendous preacher. I mean, he is a tremendous gospel preacher. I don't know if any can do any better than he does. And anyway, we'll be up there preaching there at the youth meeting. And we'd love everybody to go because they have something for everybody. It's encouraging. So look at it with me tonight. Chapter number 7, we're going to preach tonight on dealing with submission. And the Bible, of course, is dealing with Gideon. And his father named him Jerubbaal. And what he basically named him that is he named him that because when he had pulled down the altars and done away and broken up the altars of Baal, he named him that because they were about ready to do away with Gideon, wanting to do away with him. He said, well, let Baal handle himself. In other words, if he's such a god, let him handle himself. So he called him Jerubbaal, which means let Baal see it to it himself. And so he basically, in naming his son there, mocked them and told them, if your god is not big enough to take care of himself, then you leave him alone. That's basically what he was saying. And so he named him that in that fashion. The Bible says, then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. Now, the first thing tonight I'm going to preach on is basically two or three main points here in dealing with submission. The first thing is the counting. You got to do some counting to learn how to submit. Now, a lot of people wouldn't think that. But as you go through and find out, you'll find out there's basically three things. You got to count, you got to get encouraged, and then you got to charge. If you're going to submit and do anything for God, you're going to have to get down to those three things. Now, first thing you do is you're going to count. The Bible said, then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that are with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod. And it's really amazing, this chapter, if you run a reference on the word so, S-O, comes at very critical times. so that the hosts of Midianites were in the north side of them by the hill Morah in the valley. Now, how many were there? Well, verse 12 answers that for us. The Bible said in verse 12, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And the Bible says, and their camels were without number as sand by the seaside for multitude. So literally, when they came in, and this is what they're against. This is the cost. They're counting the cost of going up against this group of people. And Gideon, God didn't have them camp out of way where they couldn't see it. God had them camp close enough where they could see it. Now, God doesn't always hide from us the problems that we're going to face. Doesn't make everything easy, and don't make everything light, and doesn't make it always like the enemy that we don't see that the enemies, there's more of them physically what we can see than what we can see in ourselves. And so, Brother Freeman, we see them counting the cost. Now, Luke chapter number 14, and if you'll want to turn there tonight, I wouldn't mind you looking there at all. In Luke chapter number 4, I want to preach this tonight. I'm trying to get my mind slowed down a little before I can preach this tonight, because this is an important chapter to me. And y'all pray for me, because I really want to get this out to you. In Luke chapter number 14, verse number 28, the Bible says this. Luke chapter, now hold your place, because we're going back over there at the Judges. But it says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sit not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it. Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, and was not able to finish it. Now, what we need to do in counting the cost is we have to understand, we have got to come to understanding in our hearts whether or not we have a sufficient supply to finish. The Bible says plainly that a man, before he builds something, ought to sit down first and find out whether or not he has enough to finish what he's doing. Now, that sounds opposite by faith, doesn't it, Brother Freeman? And we'd think faith, that's not walking by faith. But I'll show you some principle here, what I'm talking about. He said you ought to do that. So here, think about this. Gideon and them have camped out near the enemy, and they can see them. So many, verse number 12 says, they're like grasshoppers. So many camels out there that they're absolutely like the sea by the like the sand by the seashore. And they're able to look down in there and realize this is how big an enemy that they have against you. Now, Luke 14:28, Jesus speaking, said we ought to be able to count the cost. We ought to count the cost and see if we have a sufficient supply to meet the need. And then he find out in verse number 31 of Luke 14, or what king going to make war, this is important, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth where he is able to with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. Look at verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now, did you notice that? All of a sudden Jesus says, if you don't forsake all, you can't be my disciple. But just previously, he's told us two things. You need to sit down and figure out if you've got enough sufficient supply. And then number two, you need to sit down and make sure that you have a sufficient strength to fight the war. And he said, then he immediately follows that up. So likewise, whoever he is of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now, here's what I'm saying. In order to be submissive to God and do God's will, we're going to have to count the cost. There's got to be some counting. Would you agree with that? But here's what we're counting. We're not counting on our supply. When we sit down and figure out whether we've got enough supply, we don't go to our bank account. We go to his bank account. And when we go to war, we don't count our numbers. We count his numbers. Amen. And Jesus said, if you don't forsake all, if you're holding all of your supply and you're holding on to your strength, you can't be my disciple, because I'm not going to show you ahead of time how much strength you got and how much supply you got. You're going to have to take what you've been relying on and follow me. Amen. That is walking by faith. And so there's got to be some counting in our life where we sit down and say, listen, if I'm going to be submissive to God and I'm going to go in the way that God wants me to go, then I've got to submit to the fact that God can supply all my need, and God is sufficient in that, and God can supply the strength, and God is sufficient of that, and I'm going to mark her down that I can go on and build the house, and I can fight the war. Amen. Does that make sense to y'all? And so this is what he does. There's some counting of the cost. There's some counting of the cost when we submit to God and do his work. But what we do is we count on God. Amen. That's the cost. Number two, you have to have your Bibles open back over there in Judges. Judges says this. Judges chapter number 7, verse number 2. So he's set them down beside all that crowd and he's let them see him. Look at verse number 2. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many. Now think about that. They've just parked it out there by there's so many there that they can't even count them all. And the first thing out of God's mouth is, you got too many. You got too many. Now think about that. God is always in the other direction from the power of the flesh. Amen. And so why does he say that? The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites in their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying mine own hand hath served me. Now, there's some counting I said. Number one, we got to count the cost. Number two, we got to count the credit. We got to come to the point and figure out if God allows us to win the war, and I believe he will. If God's going to allow us to win the war, that God has to get all the credit. And many times the only way that God can get all the credit is when it makes it impossible for us to win the war ourselves. Impossible to win the battle ourselves. And so he said, I mean, they didn't have many. But God said, I'm going to dwindle down. What is it, 32,000, 30,000, 32,000, 30,000, or 32,000. We'll count it here in a minute. And he said, that's all we've got. But God said, if I give it to you, you might say, well, we took on 10 apiece or 15 apiece or 50 apiece, and you'd have took credit for that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make it where it's an impossibility for the flesh to win this battle. Amen. And God said, you're going to have to count the credit. You're going to make sure that we get the credit in the right place. Look at verse number 3. There's another counting. Look at verse 3. Now, therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return. And he says, and depart early from Mount Gilead, and there returned to the people 22,000, and the remain 10,000. There you go, 32,000, and 22,000 went home. Now notice the counting here. There's a counting of the cause. You gotta count whether or not you're for the cause or not. And he said, notice this. He said, if they're fearful and afraid, then they're not earnest in the cause. And if they're not earnest in the cause, then let them go early home because of the cause. Amen. Get up early and go home and quit. If you're not for it, if you're afraid to fight for it, if it don't mean anything, hey, the Bible says even for a good man, some men would die. Hey, what they're saying is, Gideon, you're not even good enough for us to stay and fight. They sure ain't got any faith in God. And what they're saying is they don't have any earnest about it. They're not desirous of it. They're not invested in it. And the best thing, God said, the best thing they can do is go ahead and get up early and go home. I will say this in the ministry. If there's anything we need to people today, we need somebody who counts that there's a cause. What did David say, fighting Goliath? Is there not a cause? Amen. Is there not a cause to be in the house of God? Is there not a cause to read your Bible? Is there not a cause to knock on doors? Is there not a cause to study? Is there not a cause to be faithful? And if you're not going to be faithful, go ahead and mark yourself early and go home. Don't be a fake. Don't be a fake. Amen. And so have some earnest in the cause. Count the cause. Count the credit. Count the cost. Number four, there's another count in this. Look at verse number 4. Verse number 4 said, and the Lord said to Gideon, there are yet too many. But God, over 2/3 has went home. He said, bring them down into the water, and I will try them there for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say to thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. And God said, listen, I'm gonna test them. I'll test them for you, not you. This is my test, not your test. And I was talking to, Brother Wells today, and he gave me something real good on this thing. Look at verse number 5. So he brought down the people into the water. Now, he said this, and I hadn't studied that. I just had to say what he told me. He said, according to where they were, there was no river by there, but there was a well. Now, if he lined all of the people there, all those people there, if you took 10,000 people and he lined them shoulder to shoulder to shoulder, it'd be about 2 miles wide. How's Gideon going to see 2 miles wide? But there's a well there, and you can bring a group to a well, pour some water out, and you can watch them see what they did. You could bring them in groups. And the Bible right. Amen. I thought that was very good. I thought that was pretty good. That was pretty good. But there's a testing. This shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. Now listen, he hadn't even told him what the reason, how the reasoning would be with those that stay and those that go. Because, you know, Gideon might have said, don't drink it like that. Amen. Amen. Wouldn't that be how some of us, don't do that like that. God said, just let me do it. All right, look at the thirst. Verse 5 says, so he brought down the people into the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. Now notice that. They're all thirsty. It's not whether or not these men believed in the cause. They did. 10,000 out of 32,000 believed there's a reason for the cause. Amen. And so, they're thirsty. All of them are thirsty. All of them are drinking from the water. All of them are bringing it in. But there's a test. What's the test of? The test is of temperance. Verse 6 says, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. Now, you know what that means. It just seems this. If there's water there, one takes his hand, he scoops down that water, puts it to his mouth, drinks it all up. But 9,700 bent over and drank like that. Now they're all thirsty and they all see the cause, but there's a difference in temperance. See, there's 300 there that says, listen, when we're drinking, it does not mean that we quit being cautious. Just because we're drinking, just because the water's poured out, just because we're like everybody else, just because we believe in the cause, does not mean at any time we check our brains at the door and said the enemy's not around and they cannot attack us, but even when we're there in the camp, we have our head up. You know what you do? You count the ones that are cautious. Count those ones that are aware of what's going on around them. He said, God said, I need some that I can count on. See, now God's counting. And God said, I need some I can count on. I need someone that is aware of what's going on around them. I got to have one that's looking out yonder somewhere, making sure of what's going on. Now that's going to be real important here a little bit, that they can watch and know what's going on. They can't be having their head down. Can't have your head down when you're in service for the Lord. Lift up your head. Isn't that what he said? Your redemption draw. I said one of the saddest passages in Scripture as it's coming of the Lord is a lot of folks walk around with their head down. Parents walk around with their head down. Grandparents walk around with their head down. Children walk around with their head down. People run into things. By the way, you run into things with your head down. They can't be that much interesting out at your feet. It can't be that much interesting. Amen. It's a lot better looking out yonder somewhere than looking down there. And God said, I can't use them all. I can't use them all. I need somebody that is cautious. Their temperament is, I'm going to keep looking out there and I'm going to keep watching and I'm going to be careful all the time of what I'm doing and what's going on around me. Do you have that? Y'all got that. I know y'all know that. You got to count the cost. You got to count the credit. You got to count the cause. You got to count the cautious. And then you got to count the concord. Look at verse number 7. The Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lap will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand let all the other people go, every man unto his place. Now you got 300 that believe in the cause and are cautious. And God said, there's the concord. They're together. They're all in accord. Amen. They're in accord with each other. I can trust that they're going to be with. These three agree in the cause. These 300 agree in the cause and agree that you ought to be cautious. Does that make sense? All right. Here's what I found. I got so excited about this, I jumped up out of my study, grabbed my phone, ran out in the yard, called my brother. He said, I don't know. I got to find out myself. I've called four other preachers today. Every one of them thinks there's something here. And I don't know, but there's something here. Amen. But I want to give you what I think. Verse number 8. Heard this all my life. So the people took victuals. This is the 300. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets. And he sent all the rest of Israel, every man, unto his tent. We know that verse, right? There's two things that the 300 took with them. Victuals, what's that? Food. Amen. If you're going on a trip, these are cautious men. If you're going on a trip, I'm going to prepare myself for the providence of God. I'm going to prepare myself for the providence of God. I always said the perfect will of God. I always heard the perfect will of God is when the providence of God and preparation come together. Elijah, that's why you're going to Bible college on Tuesday nights, so you prepare for the perfect will of God. When preparation and providence come together, you'll be in the perfect will. Amen. All right, now watch this. In one hand, they had victuals. And in the other hand, they had trumpets. Now, come on, listen to this now. They had trumpets. Oh, I know it, preacher. Well, tell me about it then. Tell me about this, Brother Freeman. I've studied the Bible as far as I can find, and I can find nowhere in the Bible where anybody had a trumpet but a priest. And an angel, which is a messenger. And when the preacher, and when the prophets told him, lift up his voice like a trumpet. And the Lord's coming back with that sound of the trumpet from the archangel. Voice of the archangel, trumpet of the Lord. Everywhere you find it, it's a picture of ministry and the priesthood and the preacher. Now, I want you to think about this, Brother Ty. That's what I got up and walked around the yard. I got so excited about it. I've never done this. I don't think ever preaching. I told my wife what I was going to preach on tonight. Think about this. I said, you mind if I tell you? I got to share it with somebody. Think about this, Brother Tony. Not only did he only have 300, but those 300 were not men of war. They may have well been priesthood. Or at least those that were under the priesthood at this moment. Because you know what? One thing they didn't have? None one of them had a sword. Not a one of them. Now, you'd have thought the mighty men would have had a sword. Would anybody agree with that? Wouldn't you have thought that? You thought he had a sword. But he needed a sword. They weren't mighty men. They were called men. They were ministering men. And I want you to think about this. They went to war. They went after the cause. They went cautiously. They went without a sword. They held in one hand a trumpet and the other preparation and went off to fight the enemy with not one sword and those 300 men. I don't know about you, but that encouraged me. I said, Lord, can you use folks that ain't got nothing but a trumpet? Amen. Can you call somebody that's just a trumpeter and win battles with just a trumpeter? Stay with me. The Bible says, and retained those 300 men. And the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. The word retain means to bind. In other words, he has a tie that binds. We have 300 that are in concord. We have 300 with trumpets. We have 300 that he says, how about staying with me? 300. Gideon's now satisfied with the ones that God picked out. He retained them. He said, that'll do. 300 will do just fine. I'll take these 300 with trumpets and the calls. Amen. Amen. I'll take them. So now we have the counting. Now look at verse number 9. Let me ask you this. Has Gideon submitted? Yes, he has. He submitted to God. He said, God, if you want me to fight this battle with a bunch of men that ain't got no swords, got a trumpet in one hand, got some victuals in the other hand, that's all they got. But they're for the cause, and they're aware of what's going on, and they're cautious about it. God, I'll submit to that, and I'll go. Well, you know what God does when you do that? Right when you finally count the calls and get lined up with God, God will want to encourage you. Look at verse number 9 with me. Came to pass the same night, the Lord said unto him, arise and get thee down unto those, for I have delivered it into thy hand. Notice that God begins to encourage him in the shadows. Takes it at the nighttime. He says, hey, I want to show you something. Takes old Gideon and says, I want to show you something. Now Gideon's not seen anything but a big crowd down there and 300 that are with him. Look at verse number 10. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah thy servant down to the host. And so he gave him, not only did he encourage him in the shadows, but he encouraged him with a servant that would stand by his side. Amen. Boy, I'm glad God puts those people in your life. And I'm glad when God puts that spirit in your life. Brother Ernie, I believe you talked to me the other Sunday night about that spirit right there. I'm glad God puts those folks with you. I'm really glad God puts the Holy Spirit with you. Amen. I believe Phurah is a great picture of that, to be encouragement. Look at verse 11. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down into the host. Hey, listen, you'll be encouraged by what the enemy's saying. Listen to their speech. Boy, a lot of times we don't understand how we think the enemies, boy, they're, I tell you, the devil's going to win out. But if you'll think about it, if you'll listen to the words, you'll find out that they're more fearful of us than we are of them. Amen. Look at with me. On this verse, verse number 11. Then went he down with the Phurah's servant into the outside of the armed men that were in the host. Now, see there's armed men on their side. Verse number 12, we've already read that about the numbers. Look at verse 13. When Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread. Now, do you know what barley bread was? Barley is the poorest, cheapest, lowest class, last piece of bread you'd ever want to buy. It is the lowest of the lowest. It's the poor man's bread. This man said, I saw a bread. I was dreaming a dream. What a strange dream. I was dreaming a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread. Some old poor, the old poorest of the poor. What did it do? It tumbled. It didn't slide in. It didn't smooth in. It didn't stroll in. It didn't glide in. It brought up. It just tumbled in. Why, it don't look, not only is it the poorest of the poor, but it don't seem to have anything special about it. Even when it moves, it just tumbles. Praise God, I feel like running around the church. When you look at it, there's nothing special in it that you'd see. And even its actions are fumbling and weak and not in order. And they're just awful. He said, I saw the poorest of the poor, of the poorest bread, tumble in. See, a cake of barley bread tumble into the host of Midian and came into a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it. And the tent lay long. It stretched. I mean, boy, it rolled it upside down and laid it out flat. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else. I'm going to interpret your dream for you. There ain't but one interpretation. This is the enemy. Y'all understand that, don't you? The enemy says, I saw old barley bread roll in, tumbling, knock everything down. The enemy translates that this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. He said, it might not look much to you, but I'm telling you right now, God's given him the victory already. We're done for. He might look poor. He might look stumbly, but we're done for. You know what Gideon does? Y'all have heard me preach about grace over grasshoppers. Look at verse number 11. No, verse 15, excuse me. And it was so, there's that so again. It was so that when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped. Now where did he worship at? Right in the middle of camp. He does have, I don't think he hollered. I don't think he could have. I don't think he could have. You know, you've been in the middle of camp and you hollered like that, it woke everybody up. And I tell you right now, I bet he had himself a time. Can you imagine? He's been submissive to God, and he finds out that the enemy knows they're going to win. And he goes, wow. You know? Didn't say he went back up to camp and did that. No, no. In fact, the next words tells he said he returned. He worshiped in the midst of the enemy's camp. A lot of us need to learn to do that. And returned to the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord had delivered into your hand the host of Midian. Notice that the man said that God had delivered into his hand. But when Gideon looked out there, he didn't look into a mirror, he looked through a window. And when he saw victory, he saw it into God's people's hands. He wasn't taking no credit. He was saying, God's delivered this into your hand. You ready? Three things. Number one, you got to count the cost. Got to be some counting. Number two, if you submit to that counting, there'll be some encouraging. Number three, there'll be some charging. Look it with me, and I'm done. He divided the 300 men into three companies. Put a trumpet in every man's hand. That wasn't too hard to do since all three of them brought their trumpets with them, was it? He said, I want you to take your trumpet. Put a trumpet in every man's hand and with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. There's three things this represents. The trumpet speaks of the voice. The vessel, the pitchers, empty, speaks of the vessel. And the lamps within the pitchers speaks of the victory. So I want you to take three things with you. I want you to take a trumpet. I want you to take a pitcher. I want you to take a lamp. That's the operation. Here's what we're going to do. He said, I'm going to give you a charge. I'm charged. We're getting ready to go to war. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a voice, a vessel, and something to shine out the victory. Amen? Look at the orders. That's the operation. Now look at the orders. Verse 17, he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come into the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. He said, I'm going to be an example. You do what I do. Amen. Verse 18, when I blow the trumpet, and I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpet also on every side of the camp, and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Verse 19, so Gideon and 100 men that were with him came into the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands, and the 300 companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers, and had the lamps in their left hand, and the trumpets in the right hand. Boy, that's perfect. Left hand talking about the submissive, right hand talks about the power. Amen. Amen. And in their right hands to blow with them, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Almost said Gilligan. Oh my goodness. And of Gideon. Amen. I want to give you this real good. I've read this passage all my life, and I never picked up on this before. He said, when I go up there, I'm going to take 100 with me, you take 100 with you. I'm going to have three companies. I'm going to split it in three sets of 100. He said, I'm going to be your example. You know what God had picked out when he was down there drinking that water? God had picked out 300 men that had enough vision to be able to do what they're told. What if, you know what? You know what it really messed up, Brother Ty? It had messed up if some of them had their head down over there. And when Gideon hollered out and break his, if some of them been a little delayed, it wouldn't have near the impact. It would have went, the sword, Lord, of Gideon. And then you know what they'd have picked out? They'd have been able to count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Because they'd individually been lighting their own lamp. That wouldn't work. It had to be an absolute 100% timed out thing. That light had to go. And God said, you know who I'm going to use? I'm going to use those that are for the cause. There's a cause we're doing this. And they're cautious enough to be when God tells them to do something and God's got some supervision in their life that they can do it without any hesitation. Because the key to the victory was without hesitation. You know what I preach on tonight? Submission. Submission is doing something without hesitation. Just like that. Just like that. If one of them would have hesitated, it'd have messed up, it'd have messed the whole effect up. Can I show you something? Look at verse 18 with me. This is a good passage. I've preached on this several times. I still find this stuff in this. And when I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of the camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. When I blow the trumpet, you blow trumpet. Do as I do and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Does that make sense? Let's try it one time. I'm going to act like I'm going to blow a trumpet. I'm going to break mine. I want you to say it. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Got it? Do-do-do. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. That's what he asked them to say. Oh, but they did much more. You know what they did, Brother Ty? They got kind of exhilarated. Let me show you. Verse 19. So Gideon and all the 100 that were with him came into the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the 300 companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in the left hand and the trumpets in their right hands to blow with them. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. He said, now what happened? You say this. But I'm telling you right now, when those trumpets blew and those lights, those pots broke, those fellas got into it. And 300 men in unison said, the sword of the Lord and Gideon! They cried it out. Can you imagine what that sounded like roaring down from that mountainside, down through that valley? Listen, the exhilaration of watching God do something and of being submissive overtook them. And I believe when it come down that mountainside into that valley, it sounded like a million men coming down that valley. The sword of the Lord and Gideon! Boy, can you imagine? You know what made that work? Submission. The outcome? Verse 21, they stood every man in his place, ran about the camp, and all the hosts ran and cried and fled while they stood. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the hosts, and the hosts fled to Bithshittai in Sereth, and unto the border of Abima, Hula, and Tabitha. I don't even have those names pronounced right, I know. But the outcome, they stood, and they saw the salvation of the Lord. They stood, and they saw the salvation of the Lord. But you know what allowed that to happen? Submission. Submission. They counted. They were encouraged. And they were charged, and they carried it out. You know, a lot of times we're not careful what we do. We want to hesitate. Hesitation is rebellion when God's told you to do it. When God said do it, and you hesitate, that's as good as rebellion. And it gets things out of sync. Gets things out of sync. God's wanting to bring a great victory. And when we hesitate, we mess up God's plan. and we don't come out thunderous, and all the light don't come on at one time, and we allow the enemy to pick us out. I heard one time said one of the most dangerous things about those that shoot missiles in the military is a little poof of smoke. They have the big guns, a lot of snipers. Poof! The most dangerous things about them, Brother Freeman, is that when they shoot, they have that little poof. And a good sniper will sit out there and wait for that little cloud of smoke. He may not know where they are, but he waits for that little poof. And he goes, there they are. When we hesitate and react by ourselves, we're just like sending up a little cloud of smoke. And the devil says, there he is. But when we all respond together, there's just too much going on to pay attention to one. Amen. Let's all stand tonight. Dealing with submission. Dealing with submission. Just doing it the way God said do it. That's one of the easiest things to talk about and one of the hardest things for us to do, because our old flesh wants to count on us. What we have to do is we have to count the cost and say, wait a minute, God's got enough supply and God's got enough strength. I believe we can trust Him. You believe that tonight? You believe that tonight? I do. I do. I believe God's got enough strength and God's got enough supply to get us through anything if we just do what He says. Just do what He said. What did Mary say? Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Amen. Brother Ty, if you'll dismiss us tonight, please, sir.